Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello again, friends. Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. For today's show, we are going 5-on-5. It's an off day. The preseason is done. We're waiting around for the regular season to start. I'm real mad at my computer. I had Jordan Heimer on the line, on Skype. We were ready to podcast. We had everything lined up. GM survey. I had the NBA prop odds lined up. And Skype decided it hates me. And didn't work. So I'm getting that fixed. And then we're coming back tomorrow with Jordan Heimer. So he'll be on tomorrow's show, so make sure you tune in for that. So I'm going solo tonight. We're going to hit 5-on-5, which is 5 Clippers topics, 5 minutes. We're going to run through it, catch you up. A lot of good stories posted today on online. Ethan Sherwood Strauss at ESPN.com had an incredible story on Draymond Green and how he's kind of causing some issues in Golden State and some hints of some possible dysfunction there, and really great reporting by him. Ballsy reporting. He's got to go back in that locker room where guys aren't going to be all that happy with him. Although, it could be a situation where maybe the guys who have had to deal with Draymond's stuff for the last couple of years are thankful that he was the one guy to be able to write that post. That was great. Go read that. Read up on Know Thy Enemy, as they say. Lots of good stuff, though. There was the Kevin Durant Rolling Stone piece. There was Lee Jenkins in Sports Illustrated on Russell Westbrook. A lot of great stories, so do your reading, but we're going to stick to 5 Clippers topics, and we're going to start now. I'm going to put 5 minutes on the clock, and away we go. So, first thing I found today was a little take from a scout on Sports Illustrated. It just kind of had some random thoughts of just an anonymous scout dishing on the Clippers. Here's what he said. He said, "Their goal should be the 2 seed, and they should win 50 games easily. They will need home court advantage in the second round if they want to make the West Finals. It's the same question every year. Who are they in the playoffs? Something always goes wrong, and they always crack. I don't like any of their players in the postseason, really. Everyone talks about Paul's poor postseason record, but Blake's had injury issues. DeAndre has the free throw shooting, and Redick disappears. Needless to say, that bench isn't going to save them. They still have a hole at the 3, and their backup bigs aren't great. Why should this year be any different than previous years?" Let me answer that quickly. The difference will be if the Clippers are healthy, they haven't had full health going into a postseason where everyone's clicking, where they haven't suffered injuries halfway through a series, where they haven't been banged up. It happens every year. That's the thing that could be different. And it's the obvious thing. We still haven't seen this Clippers core at complete full strength. And we know what they're capable of when all of those guys are playing together. That starting lineup, even with the absence of a 3, which I agree with, is one of the best in the league by every possible advanced analytic measure. So if they can march into the postseason healthy, that's going to be the difference. That would be my answer to that. All right, number 2. Dan Wojcicki of the Orange County Register had a really great post on the sacrifices that players make during the season, kind of the things they have to give up that that they love and it's just part of their job as an NBA player, what they have to give up. And Dan had probably the best turn of phrase in a post I've read in a long time. So he's talking about things that the players give up. For JJ Redick, it's hop dotty fries. I don't even know what a hop dotty is. We don't have those that far south of... I looked it up. The furthest south is Irvine. So I've never actually been there. Is it good? Is it like on In-N-Out and Five Guys like level? Is it in the conversation? Shake Shack? I've never heard of it. Apparently the fries are really good because for JJ Redick, that's the thing that he misses most. For Chris Paul, and I'm going to read this straight from Dan Wojcicki's article, it says, for Paul, it's turning down Sprite, his favorite soda, which he said he hasn't had in years. I miss it, Paul said while disobeying his thirst. No question. Oh, Dan, you wily son of a gun. I loved that. Also, if a soda's clear, it's good for you. That's what my parents taught me. That's why I have diabetes. Matt Heller of ClipsNation.com did a ranking of the top five villains of Clipper Nation. Super funny posts. Had some great photoshops in there and just kind of like had a bunch of runners up like Western Medicine as one of the top villains of Clipper Nation. His top five, though, you'll recognize the theme. Steve Kerr's number five. Andre Iguodala's shoulder shrug is number four. Specifically the shoulder shrug. Three is Steph Curry. Two is Kevin Durant. And number one, the number one villain of Clipper Nation, Draymond Green. Could it be anyone else? I tried to think of someone else that would make sense in the number one spot. There's no one that makes sense. Draymond is the number one enemy of Clipper Nation. I think he just gets under everybody's skin. How could he not? He's tops on the list. The only other person I might put in there would be Charles Barkley. Because if I have to hear one more time about how Blake Griffin needs to become a dominant post player, I'm going to lose my mind. So Charles Barkley would be there in for me. Just because I can't do it anymore. Number four, NBA GM survey. Which active player will make the best head coach someday? If your brain is thinking Chris Paul, the NBA GMs around the league agree with you. Chris Paul came in number one in that, 27.6% of the vote. Interestingly enough, a former Clipper, Jared Dudley, came in second as an active player who will make the best head coach someday. Chris Paul won this last year in last year's NBA GM survey too. Here's the thing though, I don't see Chris Paul ever being a coach. And I know a lot of people do. They think when he retires that he's going to get into coaching and he'll be great. And it's just like kind of a given. I think he's more interested in the management side of things. I could see him being a GM before I could see him being a coach. I think he kind of wants to like run like an entire organization. Almost think like coaching is small time for Chris Paul. And I say that as, you know, with all due respect to NBA coaches, I feel like he wants some more control than a coach has. Maybe he could like the Stan Van Gundy thing or the Doc Rivers thing where he gets to coach, he gets to be the president, he gets to make all the moves. That's really the only scenario I can see Chris Paul being a coach, if a team's willing to give him everything. Jason Kidd did it somehow. So maybe Chris Paul will follow in his footsteps. Last one here, Rob Mahoney of SI.com had a beautiful summary of Blake Griffin's play and what makes him great. I highly suggest you go read this on SI.com, the full article. Rob is one of the best basketball writers on the planet. He has a way of describing basketball in a way that's accessible, but also extremely detailed. And you always feel smarter after you're done reading one of his articles. So go read this. But he had a really, I think, interesting point on Blake Griffin that he is arguably the best superstar for other superstars to play with, because he doesn't demand a certain style, or he's not really a high-maintenance player. He can fit in with other stars. I'm just going to read you the last sentence of this piece on Griffin, because I thought it sums things up really well and why he's probably even underrated still. It says, Griffin is simply the best in the league at what he does, facilitate, create, and find harmony with every sort of talented player around him. I agree with that completely. There's no player that Blake Griffin can't play with. I think the only thing that you could say is defensively he needs that rim protection from a center or from somewhere. But offensively, he can do everything, and he can fit with everyone. He can be your best playmaker, your best passer. He can space the floor. He can post if that's what you really want him to do. There's so much that he can do, and it just going forward for the Clippers, you know, we don't know how Chris Paul is going to age. We think he's going to age pretty well, at least I do. But this is going to be Blake Griffin's team moving forward. If he re-signs with the Clippers this offseason, he's going to be the guy. And so it's comforting that the Clippers can look to kind of just get the best player available in free agency and stick him with Blake and know that Blake is going to be able to make it work offensively. As long as Blake Griffin is a member of the Los Angeles Clippers and he's healthy and playing 70, 75 games a season, there's no reason to think the Clippers should be outside of the top five in offensive efficiency ever. That's just the beauty of having a superstar. All right, that's it. That's 5-on-5. Go check out those articles. There's Rob Mahoney of SI.com. We had Dan Wojcie of the OC Register. We had some random scout on Sports Illustrated. We had the NBA GM survey on NBA.com. And then we had Matt Heller on ClipsNation.com. Great stuff all the way around, guys. Let's take it home here. If you'd like to advertise on the podcast, or if you have questions for me to answer on the show, you can email me at FosterDJ3@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter at FoxSportsFoster. Please remember to subscribe, rate, review us on however you're listening to this podcast. We're on a variety of different platforms. We're working on getting on more. So please just drop us a review, rate, subscribe. We love you guys for that. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast. Again, we'll be back tomorrow with Jordan Heimer, computer willing, and we're going to talk about the NBA GM survey. We're going to get into more details on that, and we're also going to talk some prop bets. Who does Jordan like for MVP this year? Who are we taking over? Who are we taking under on wins? Who's going to win Rookie of the Year? We're going to break down all that. We're going to answer all those questions. So tune in tomorrow. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Enjoy your day.